being human beings, connection is something that we need. We cannot go on with life in isolation. We need to be connected. And so networking is a big part of having a business and being able to grow and expand in terms of the people who are within your sphere.
We are represented.
Welcome to Represented, the podcast. I'm Aniki Shuru, racial equity coach for online business owners who want to be intentionally inclusive by building a business that is racially equitable. I created this podcast to normalize a conversation around racial inclusion so that fear is no longer the barrier that gets in the way of doing this work. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Whether you're taking your first steps or you're well-versed in the journey towards racial equity, this space is for you. So welcome home, friend. Let's get started.
From coast to coast, and around the globe, we are.
Where are you from? Really? No, originally, where are you from? Can I touch your hair? Your English sounds so good. Nah, I don't see color. Those statements I've shared are just some of the daily microaggressions that people of color face on a regular basis when they occupy white spaces. Microaggressions are subtle yet negative racial messages that leave the person on the receiving end feeling hurt, humiliated, and even disrespected. You may have used these kinds of statements to start a conversation or even break ice with a person of color, but didn't realize the harm you were causing. That's why I've created a free microaggressions guide with five of the commonly made microaggressions in online coaching spaces that you need to know about and what you can do or say instead. Head over to anikishuru.com/micro to download your free guide. That's anikishuru, GICHURU.com/micro, MICRO. Hey, hey, welcome to another episode. I am so happy to have you here with me. Now, I would love to know, where are you tuning in from? Please let me know. I would love to hear from you. Slide on over to my DMs on Instagram if we're not connected. My handle is annie.gishuru, GICHURU. And let me know what you are loving about this podcast, which episode has been your favorite, or what you'd like to hear me share about. Last week, the episode was on networking in white spaces as a woman of color. And I've really loved the feedback that I've received, particularly from women of color themselves, saying that they felt seen and they felt that the support and the tips that were given really, really spoke to them. And I am so happy to hear that. And also hearing from white women saying, I've taken note of some of these things. I didn't know that. I did not know the issue around the safety aspect that a woman of color might feel when they're in an in-person event. And I've taken note, and that's something for me to be aware of. So that episode landed in the way that I had hoped it would land based on the people who have gotten in touch with me. And that brings me a lot of joy because this is a labor of love to be able to come here to you weekly and deliver some of these tips, nuggets, wisdom. It takes a lot, but this is work that I absolutely enjoy. And that is why I'd love to hear from you and to know what's landing for you and what would you like to hear more of. And so today's episode is a builder. From last week, we spoke about networking in white spaces and particularly as a woman of color. And today I want us to dive into how to have inclusive virtual events. And particularly since 2020, we've seen the rise of virtual events. And it's been both a positive and in some cases, not positive. But I really want to build on the positivity of it because it is a very easy way to get people together, especially getting a global audience together. It allows us to interact with people who we would normally not interact with because of a distance and location and geography and costs of travel. And it allows us to feel a sense of connection. And being human beings, connection is something that we need. We cannot, as I said last week, go on with life in isolation. We need to be connected. And so networking is a big part of having a business and being able to grow and expand in terms of the people who are within your sphere. And so I want to share with you some pointers on the ways in which you can have a more inclusive virtual event. Number one is having the ability to articulate your values through an inclusion statement. This is from the very beginning, even before you've put out your invites, thinking of how can I share my inclusion statement? How can it be included, even as a hyperlink, as part of the information that I'm beginning to put out there and beginning to promote? How can I make sure that the people I am speaking to know about my values and understand about where I stand when it comes to inclusivity? And this really helps, particularly those who identify as Black, Indigenous, and people of color. We are always looking for pointers that guide us to, is this going to be a space that we feel welcome, regardless of whether it is in person or virtual? Is there anything to give me information that when I step into this particular space, particularly a space that requires us to have our cameras on, a space that requires us to interact and get into virtual rooms and affinity groups, is there something to tell me that this is an inclusive event, that they have somebody like me in mind? And this will play as such a strong way of bringing the right people to your event. And it also will play as a way of promoting your event to like-hearted people with aligned values and extend it further than you perhaps would have imagined because of the number of people who are feeling seen and also those who align with your values of inclusion. So be clear who this event is for, who is welcome in those spaces that you're creating. To go along with that, being very, and not, it's not just from a race perspective, let me say that, although this is talking about racial inclusion in virtual spaces, you can go ahead and be inclusive of other identities that are marginalized that you want to ensure that they feel seen as well. Number two is having an acknowledgement of country at your event. Now, this is something that is very traditional to our way of how we do things in Australia, particularly if we are gathering together in groups. And especially in person, we normally have an acknowledgement of country or even a welcome to country that is done by traditional owners. But I have often not seen acknowledgement of country done in often enough in virtual events. It does tend to happen more so in person. But as a virtual event creator, take the time to ensure that you do have an acknowledgement of country because it is a way to pay your respects and recognition to the traditional owners of the land upon which you are, holding this event. Number three is set clear boundaries. This is so important, particularly to act as a reminder that this is a space where certain behavior will not be accepted. It is not going to be tolerated. And We're talking about behavior such as racism, discrimination, anything that makes people feel as though they're not welcome or that they don't belong. That kind of behavior is not acceptable. And also go ahead and talk about the consequences and the kind of environment that you have put together that you would like the people who are coming in to expect that that is the environment that they're walking into virtually. Number four. Have the ability, particularly if this is an event that is going to go on for some time. Often we have those virtual day events that last for, many hours. It is so important to break into smaller groups because it allows people who learn differently, have different ways of taking in information, to not feel as overwhelmed. It also allows people to get to know each other. Having smaller groups that are intimate allows people to get to know each other, not feel intimidated, and get into conversation that is a little bit deeper. One thing that I've found to work really, really well, and this goes into point number five, is having affinity groups that are specific to how people identify, in this case, race-based, and having a group that is just for people of color, having a group that is just for white folks, and speaking to those differences, speaking to the things that get in the way and might often cause others to feel unseen, might cause others to feel unsafe, where there is inequity. We talk about those things because when we bring groups together, especially as somebody who is seeking to be inclusive, having these topics are so important so that you are exercising that muscle of being an ally. You're being an active ally in bringing these topics and ensuring that we are talking about them and taking advantage of when we come together as groups. And this is where you need to ensure that you have people that you can call on within your networks that have the ability to hold space for these different affinity groups because you can't be everywhere in that event. You can't hold space for everything and everyone. And so, who are the people that are trusted in your network that you have been learning from, that perhaps have been learning from you, and you have built a relationship and you are able to hand that on to them and say, I'd love you to host this group, and these are the topics to talk about, or what do you suggest? And really being open to having their suggestions come through and how you can just elevate the experience, particularly for those with marginalized identities. And then this really leads in nicely to point number six, which is about having racially diverse speakers. How do I put this? I can't begin to tell you how maybe heartbreaking is a little bit of a too intense word to use, but how disappointing. Yes, the word is disappointing to go for an event and just see the speakers all look the same. They sound the same, and they might come from different professional backgrounds, but there really isn't racial diversity. Racial diversity adds to the richness of the event, and it really does show how inclusion is really being promoted, particularly when it's done from a genuine perspective and it's not being done from a place of just ticking a box. Because with time, you will be able to identify where it is genuine inclusion and where we just did this so that we don't get in trouble. And so ensure with your virtual event that if you're having different speakers coming through, that you're having that racial diversity as well. And this also builds onto point number seven, which is about the content that you're sharing in that event. The resources that you're talking about, the resources that are being recommended, take the time to ensure that you have curated a library that is racially diverse, that the people that you are recommending, the articles, the books, they represent a wide range of racial perspectives and not just the one Eurocentric perspective that many, many of us have become so accustomed to that it just becomes the standard. And we don't even question what we are being given or what we're consuming because it's just become the way in which we take on information. And then that becomes what is trusted. That white lens with which we learn through and consume things becomes what is trusted. And anything else that is not that is not something that is looked upon as to be sought after or something that is of value. And so it is so important that you're thinking about the content that you're putting together and who you're learning from and what is being recommended and shared. And this leads nicely to point number eight, which is collect feedback and have the option for it to be done anonymously. This is something that often gets missed out a fair bit when it comes to hosting events and running events. Everything that is given a lot of attention is the planning of the event, how the event then unfolds on the day, and after the event comes to an end, it ends there. But this is such a great opportunity to grow even deeper with the relationships of the people who came to your event by finding out how was the event for them? What can you do better? What did you do really, really well? What are areas that had some gaps? And by collecting that feedback, it really allows you to improve on the next time and just keep getting better from there on. And what is also really important, and this is speaking to negative feedback. If you get feedback where this is an area that you could have done better, there wasn't X amount of representation, or I'm a person of color, I attended the event, and this is how I felt. Take the time to take that information in, share it with your team if you have a team. And this is where having somebody who is a DEI educator to support you on how do you take the next steps? What should you do here? And this is what I recommend. When you have put your thoughts together, have had discussions with your team, have consulted with a DEI educator, go back in an email. And sometimes, because this feedback may have been given anonymously, go back to everybody and say, thank you so much for everyone who took the time to fill out the feedback. It has been an eye-opening exercise. We appreciate that. We had some really good feedback that we received, but we also received areas of improvement. And I really want to share that with you. And some of the things that came up were A, B, C, D. And these are the steps we're now taking to ensure that this doesn't happen again. So if you happen to be the person who shared this with us and you feel comfortable to get in touch with us directly, please do, because we would love to have that chat with you. If not, totally okay. But you're opening up the channels of communication. You're being really transparent with the ways in which you run your business and your events. And in so doing, you're building trust. And the more you build trust is the more you build the likability and the prospect of people coming back again for your events, or even being customers who become lifelong partners in your work, who recommend your work, who the word of mouth really just grows your business because of your values and how you are running your virtual events. So I hope that's been really, really helpful. I'm going to take a short break now, and when I come back, we're going to talk next steps from here.
Hi, my name is Jill DeCuna and I am a Beyond Career Life Coach. I wanted to join Represented because I heard Annie speak earlier this year, and the difference in our experience in relation to race in Australia was so vastly different that I wanted to have a richer and deeper conversation with Annie about her experiences and mine, and trying to unpack why they were so different. And represented was the space that I had the opportunity to do that with Annie and with all the other participants. My biggest takeaway from Represented was really a change in my awareness and my perception of the world around me. During and after Represented, I can no longer view the world in the way that I used to. It's almost like the blinkers have been taken off. And no matter what kind of content or experiences I have, the way in which I interact with everything has changed because of the learnings within Represented. The manner in which Annie provides the content is so easy to consume, and you're not going to get overwhelmed. It's in beautiful bite-sized chunks, but there is such a wealth of information provided in the content and in the calls. And I just think it's an absolute must for any business owner to do Represented with Annie, regardless of whether you are a white person or a person of color. There is so much value to be had from being in that container with Annie and the other participants in Represented. I really cannot recommend it enough.
Okay, welcome back. And now I just want to do a really quick recap of those 8 points when it comes to running an inclusive virtual event. Number one, articulate your values with an inclusion statement at the very beginning, even before you've begun promoting your event. Ensure you have an inclusion statement that is visible, that people can see. Number two, acknowledgement of country. A lot of times we think that this is something that just needs to be done in in-person events, and we forget to do this in virtual events. Ensure that you're doing that, particularly if you're somebody who is based in Australia. I don't know what the customs are in other countries, but for us, this is something that is really important to us. So don't forget to do that. Number three, set clear boundaries so that people know what is acceptable behavior and what is unacceptable behavior and what the consequences of that is. Break into smaller groups, particularly if it's an event that will be going on for quite a few hours, the ability to break into smaller groups. Number five, having affinity groups for specific identities. In this case, we're talking about race. So having an affinity group for people of color and an affinity group for white folks will really add on to your inclusivity factor. Number six, include racially diverse speakers, which builds on to number seven, that the content that you're sharing, the information that you're sharing, the recommendations that you're sharing, and even the gifts perhaps that you're going to be giving out on the day, that they come from racially diverse people. Number eight is collect feedback with the option of that being anonymous. And this can be done at the end of the event, after the event has ended, and sent an email a few days later collecting that feedback. And then obviously taking action from there, getting back to people, thanking them for their time. And that will see you, the more you do that, the more you will have inclusive virtual events, and you just keep growing and you just keep taking feedback. And of course, these 8 points are not an exhaustive list. I always say that, but this is somewhere for somebody who's new, or you've been doing events for quite some time. These are points for you to think about that perhaps you may not have thought of before. Now, if this is work that you are feeling a tag on and you're like, I want to learn more about inclusivity, Annie, I am an online business owner. Not only do I run events, but I hold space for different people, and I want to learn how I can be more inclusive. I would love to invite you to check out my program called Represented. It's my 10-week signature program where I support online business owners to build businesses that are racially equitable so they can be intentionally inclusive. The next round is going to be in September, and so you can get onto the wait list, which is anigishuru.com/represented, and that will be in the show notes for you. Catch you next time. We are represented. So much. much for tuning in. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review so this podcast can reach more online business owners, and together we can begin to normalize racial inclusion in the online coaching space. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was recorded, the Wiradjuri people in central New South Wales, Australia. Music produced in Nairobi, Kenya by Patrick St. P. Mbaru and Kambua Mathu. Vocals by Joanne Matata.